hit the intro now.
The following presentation
we got
is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive,
you told me or self-righteous gas bags
with sticks of
what the consult our technician.
You didn't mean now, you meant now.
This project
sorry.
Is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat,
I'm here,
the Giddy Geeker,
I'm here
and
too.
Tiffany the Technician.
Hello!
Hi. We apologize in advance to the volume.
Not in advance, really.
Every once in a while, Tiffany tries.
After the fact, I'm...
And now, damn right they shot.
What are you, the editor?
The hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Giddy Geeker runs for her TARDIS to apologize in advance.
That's right. Episode 123.
Seems like only yesterday we were doing 122.
It does. Oh, hey, Josh, you survived.
I managed.
How was the garage?
It was a little drafty, but fine.
I bet that plaid underwear came in handy. You don't know what we're talking about. Go listen to episode 122.
Self-promotion.
I turned them inside out, so they're fine. They're fine now.
Oh, great!
Yeah, we meant to talk to you about the strength of the mic.
Oh!
Okay, so this is Josh Steinke.
Hello.
From Bars Works. He stayed overnight in the garage with Field. So.
Poor Field.
He had a really good time at the comedy festival. You know, we let him out for that.
That's good.
That was nice. Yeah, that was nice of us.
We got to know each other really well.
So if you want to know more about Josh, you can go back and listen to episode 122. You can also go to the Muggles Market page because you've been accepted for the second year to appear at the
Muggles. I'm so excited, too.
I'm so excited. I think Muggles Market is going to be bigger and better. It's going to be 33% more fantastical. At least that's what the postcards I printed said.
So. Okay, so we better make it 33% more fantastical.
Well, I'm going to let a couple beasts loose.
That's a lot of pressure.
It's going to be a LARP. We talked about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
we're not going to have them run through the Muggles Market killing people.
No.
Or hitting people.
But don't look out the windows too closely.
So. Okay.
Yeah, and then the return of the Carolina TARDIS, that's official.
Nice.
We're going to have some new virtual reality demos by 13 or FX. What is it?
John Dondero and the
crew. Yeah, those guys.
We'll say those guys. Yeah.
You know, that production studio that I can never get right.
Sorry, John.
I will look it up and link it later.
Let me look it up right now.
I really won't. So
send your letters to Giddy Geeker.
Productions. No, send them to Tiffles.
I don't know anything about any of this. So.
I don't know nothing about
it. Personal no, amazing. Wait, I don't know.
I don't know. Okay.
13th floor FX.
FX.
Yes.
13th floor
FX is going to be coming and doing a 3D virtual demonstration, just like they did on the 100th episode. But they started filming new episodes last week. We saw the green screen.
Yeah,
so
and they've got a
awesome.
New production studio, which looks
so
awesome.
Shiny.
So shiny and new.
We donated to that.
We did.
All right. So what's been happening in the old TV show land?
Well, I haven't been watching TV. That's what's been happening.
I know.
There are a couple things I saw today.
You did?
On the webs of internet. Two Marvel characters who go together, Cloak and Dagger. Mm. No, it's not that movie from the 80s.
Dabney Coleman.
Thank you.
Oh my god.
Nice. Nice. I can see his face. That was right.
Pulling out the Cloak and Dagger trivia.
That's right.
Wow.
This is Marvel characters, Cloak and Dagger.
Great taste. They go great together.
And it's going to be on the exciting channel called Freeform.
Oh,
which used to be ABC
Family.
Family.
It's not so family anymore. Yeah. We're just kind of freeforming it.
Which is good for Cloak and Dagger because they're a little bit darker characters who, if they follow in the comic books, they gain their powers.
But the guy under the cloak is really dark.
He is, yeah. They gain their powers through being subjected to drugs in the 80s and gain their power. So
just say no.
I don't know if they'll keep that.
Brown
acid. Yeah, but the stars of this, they're grabbing from, I guess, Disney TV. Joey, you might know these stars.
Because you watch Disney TV.
I used to.
Yeah, Joey likes to watch. If she watches bad stuff, she'll follow it up with a Disney show, Chaser, back when we had the Disney Channel. So,
yeah.
Olivia Holt. and Aubrey Joseph.
So there's a big budget.
Know, though. It's yeah, and the other great thing is they have no idea when they're going to release it. So
yeah, they probably aged out of whatever TV show whatever they were on.
Mickey
yeah.
Mouse Club.
So
they
this
were
is
on,
the next so. The next yeah. step up. But they're pretty cool characters. Dagger shoots light daggers.
So these are girls.
It's a girl and a guy, and then she's Dagger is the female, and the male is Cloak.
Oh,
and Cloak
so it's
actually
not like Captain Hammer, where the hammer is his penis.
No, completely different.
Because, you know, she would need two daggers.
Okay, and moving on. Terry Hatcher's going to be on Supergirl. How about that? As a villain. I'm not going to tell you with Cloak and Dagger because it's gotten weird. So Terry Hatcher, who used to be Lois on Lois and Clark, if you remember that horrible show back in the day.
I remember when she was a Love Boat mermaid.
Well, hey, good for you. That's awesome.
She was,
yeah, and you're calling me old.
Yeah.
But it's she's going to be on there. That's going to be awesome. I really liked
it. And she's
going to
be a villain, but they're not saying which villain she'll be. But it will be the season, so we're pretty excited about that.
Or but she won't be Lois Lane.
No, unless it's an evil Lois Lane.
An evil Lois Lane.
Bizarro Lois Lane, possibly. Lois, oh, who knows?
There is a Bizarro Lois Lane, isn't there?
There were in the old days of the comic books.
Well, yeah.
Back in the 50s, 60s stuff, so yeah.
But they had weird shit in the 50s and 60s.
They sure did.
Are they taking another run?
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe
Superman
she'll be
was
the,
a
like,
dick in the
50s and 60s. Mrs. Mixoplectic or something like that.
They cast Mr. Mixoplectic. And I'm pronouncing his name completely wrong, I know. And now I'm going to attempt to Google it. Like
if you say
I know
it backwards,
how to spell
he goes back
Mr.
to the ninth dimension or whatever it is, right? Yeah.
How do you Mr. Plick?
Oh, boy. It is long.
I promise Carol has not been drinking during the recording.
Just
what she
jasmine
did before
tea.
Here.
Jasmine
I have
tea
no
and
idea.
Some kind of cough Ms. syrup, but we're not sure.
Plick.
She says it was cough syrup.
It could be Ripple
it's
or Moonshine.
Clear.
Everclear. Yeah, that might have been it.
Okay.
Well, hey, here's some Batman news.
There it is.
Mr. Affleck says he is not going to direct the movie now.
Yes.
He's out. So,
well, that's what he says now.
Yeah. He says he wants to devote as much time as possible to the portrayal of Batman and Bruce Wayne and does not want to split duties directing.
No. Although he will co-write, star, and still produce.
I'm sure he's not taking a pay cut either, I'm sure.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Warner Brothers has him locked up.
Wants to be able to complain that somebody else fucked it up.
Yes. Oh. Okay, so Mr. Mix-a-Flick. The dude.
Sir Mix-a-Lot?
Gesundheit, yes.
Season 2 of Supergirl will be played by Peter Gatio.
Who is?
Oh, who is this dude here? Who was on Once Upon a Time in Wonderland.
Oh, okay.
You can't see him, but it's this dude here.
Can you look up Olivia Holt?
Olivia Holt? Yes, I can.
He looks like he's kind of hot.
He is kind of hot. All a little right. bit.
Ooh. Not Henry Cavill hot, though.
Mr. Affleck directing, yes. Which is kind of sad.
No directing. He's actually a good director.
She was in Kicking It.
Oh, yeah.
She was the little blonde girl?
Yeah.
My favorite.
Okay.
We have no idea.
And who's Josh the Aubrey? What was it? Aubrey what?
Aubrey, hold on. Joseph.
Are you sure it's not Joseph? No, it is Aubrey, Aubrey Joseph. Oh, so, okay. So, Cloak is actually...
Cloak.
Yeah.
Let me see.
The Night of? Oh, The Night of.
Oh,
okay.
That's that HBO. Roz, Riz Ahmed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who was the other fella? Okay. Tucci. Not Tucci.
Not Stanley Tucci.
The other one.
I know you're talking about.
Jesus. Look at
yes. Me. Yes. Yeah. John Tutoro.
That's it. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know
nice.
Why we
I
put
actually,
that next up with Tucci, but it's
no,
close,
they're
kind of
close.
Tucci. They're kind of close.
Tucci, Tutoro.
I actually gave up on that show.
Oh, it turned out okay.
The British one was, I thought the British one was a little bit better.
You know, it was getting a little bit like, really? Really?
Yeah.
So.
That's why I gave up on it. It was like, okay, now you're just stretching the realm of possibility here. So Cloak and Dagger and Mr. Mix-a-Flick. There we go.
Cool.
Perfect.
And Terry Hatcher.
I
used to, man, she's hot. She was hot back in the day. I think she still might be hot, I'm not sure. Before I met you, get geeker, sorry.
That's okay.
She always looked like she needed a sandwich to me. And Mr. Affleck.
She and I are different looks.
Will no longer direct. He will just be the bat.
Just be the bat.
As long as they have Jeremy Irons as Alfred, I'll be okay.
I'm sure. Awesome. I didn't mind Batman vs. Superman. Can I say that here? Is that okay?
You can say it.
I mean, I didn't.
Throw him back in the garage. No.
It was okay.
I didn't mind that scene where Henry Cavill made those eggs or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Those obviously fake eggs.
You know, guys, what I'm saying?
You have to understand Tiffany. Tiffany has a thing for Henry Cavill.
Sounds
a thing. A thing.
She would like you to make a pen for him and give it to him and say it's from her and give her, just engrave her phone number.
Like a Henry Cavill?
Oh, God!
No. You need to make that and send it to him.
Now it's out there on the internet. Now I have to.
Yeah.
I have to.
But it's only for me.
Okay. Henry Cavill.
Might not be a pen anymore. I don't know.
Can you imagine Josh chiseling his abs on his knee? Ew.
Now we all are, aren't we?
Or maybe he'll make it with acrylic.
Oh, I'm sure that pen is something else altogether.
Oh, Henry.
The Guardians of the Geekery is not
this,
your
this got Freudian very quickly, didn't it? Yeah.
Can you put some batteries in there?
Is Joan on drugs?
Yes, I am.
I think those Carol's probably closer to drugs, but this is great. Right.
Well, you know, I am on that fart-smelling pill. Can I just say that's the worst thing ever?
You just did.
As you know, I was not on the podcast last week. I was in the ER.
I didn't even notice what happened.
I'm going to throw things at you. It's a good thing we have company.
Stay.
Stay for a long time. But the antibiotic they gave me, I swear, every time I open it up, it just smells like the bottle is farted. And it's got sulfur or something.
That's how you know it's working.
It. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, and they keep saying, you have to take it till the end, no matter what. It's like,
And now everybody out there knows.
It smells bad. All right. Speaking of things that smell bad, Peter Capaldi is saying he's going to leave Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's official. This is his last season. We have a premiere date.
April or something?
April, yeah.
Is that BBC or BBC of America?
That's BBC. So
I've already admitted that I like Batman vs. Superman. I might as well admit that I've never seen Doctor Who.
Okay, now you have.
I've never seen a full episode. So.
Okay, I don't feel so bad.
Oh, you're right.
You came to my house.
Several times.
You came for Christmas. No, you didn't.
I remember they were in a really cute place at Christmas.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
It's London. It's kind of cute.
No, she was having that daydream where she was in this really nice house.
Oh, last okay.
2 years ago.
I feel like it's just one of those shows you just can't just jump into.
Honestly,
be lost.
If you've never seen Doctor Who, you can go back and watch the 2005 season with Chris Eccleston because it's the Doctor. It's the reboot.
It's not a reboot,
but it's a restart because there had been a hiatus from 86. To 2005.
Okay.
So you get a reintroduction to everything. So it's a good starter one.
Yeah, you don't have to start way back in 63.
And then once he regenerates, because that's how the doctors continue over 50 years, is they regenerate rather than dying, then you can jump up to the current doctor and go forward. And
gotcha.
You won't be too far out of the loop because every doctor has their own personalities, their own companions, and they explain their own stuff. So
I may just do that.
But I
will say, going back to Batman vs. Superman, it's not worthy of Razzies, but it wasn't a very good movie.
No.
I have heard that the director's cut makes it a whole different movie.
It just made it longer for me.
So I actually heard somebody say the same thing about The Kingdom of Heaven, is that that movie, when you watched it the first time, it was cut to be more like action-adventure.
Well, yeah.
And then when you go watch the director's cut, it's more like sweeping epic drama. And it's a whole different feel. So I'm intrigued now. I want to go back and watch it.
Same with Ben-Hur. It's cut to be very action-packed. But the director's cut is just...
It's just really crap. It's a bigger pile of crap.
Why did they remake Ben-Hur? Okay.
Because they have to remake everything. Every goddamn little thing.
There is a villain announcement for Aquaman. It is character Black Manta.
Oh, cool.
And he wore, you ever saw this old Super Friends, he wore the helmet, I guess. But pretty cool looking character.
I want the Juggernaut. It's Marvel.
Thank you. That was always my favorite X-Men commercial. You throw a tank. And go, thank you.
So who's playing there. Black Manta?
It is Abdul Mateen.
Okay.
So yeah.
I don't know what they were on.
It's a man. Yes. And he could be Black Manta. It's a rumor. It's a rumor right now, so we'll see what happens with that.
I'm sure Yaya will do a great job.
I don't know if you saw the they did like a Photoshop of what the DC characters would actually look like if they wore the costumes from the comic books.
Oh no.
And they actually Photoshopped Jason Momoa in the orange and green. Oh no. Nice. And he actually made it work.
I believe that. I buy that.
Did you see there was a picture of him going around the other day with his two bodyguards?
Yeah.
And they are like a foot shorter than him. And he's like, when you look like that your bodyguards are the small mobs that you have to get to the big boss. It's like, what is he going to do? Yeah. Awesome. It's like they just tie a tire about so Jason doesn't have to work so hard, you know? Oh my god. That man is a beautiful man. I told you my first year at Dragon Con, he sat next to me.
I ran into him. Mm. I ran into his chest. Like literally ran into his
face. Okay, I'm jealous.
Yeah, and he picked up my program book, and this was like way, way back when he was on Stargate, and I had no idea who he was because I never watched Stargate. It was just this really good-looking guy with dreads that picked up my program book for me.
Well, this is what happened to me. I bet this was 2007.
It might have been earlier. I think mine was like 2004 or 2005. Okay.
2007, he came into, because I think he and Lori Petty were friends. Oh. And she had found the liquor store and found all the red wine. I told you the story, right? And so she's sitting in there, and I'd just gotten done seeing Eric Estrada, and he had asked me why I had a cast on my arm and all this kind of stuff. And then she comes in, and she's talking about Tank Girl and being a director and a female in the world and why she does independent films and all this kind of stuff. And it was fascinating. But she literally came in with like 6 or 7 bottles of red wine. And she's like, I found the liquor store finally. And she plops them all down and she opens one up. She goes, oh, this one's too sweet. Who wants it? Oh, this one's too dry. Who wants it? You know? And so she's handing it out back and forth. And then this woman comes up. Evidently, she had signed this girl's arm the day before, and the girl got a tattoo of it and showed it to her. She's like, why would you do that? And then, so I'm sitting there, and I'm like trying to rest my arm or whatever, and this guy's sitting next to me. He's like, hey, how you doing? And he's leaning over, and it's a guy with dreads, and I look over, and she's like, and for those of you who don't know my friend Jason Momoa, and he's like, how you doing, girl? And I'm just like, oh my god, I feel like I'm like the odd man out in an inappropriate moment. Where like the older teens want to go down to the basement and they don't know what to do with the little kid, you know? It's like, do you guys need me to leave? But anyway, but yeah, he's a beautiful, beautiful man.
He is, yeah.
Not like you, honey.
Oh fuck!
Wow, damn. Different kind of beautiful, honey.
That's a better phrasing. But
yeah. Okay. Okay, it's like not like you.
Okay. I know, you're sitting on the couch. So. All right. Okay. And let's see. Car vending machine is coming into South Boulevard. What does this mean?
What is that?
Is this you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like,
does it take quarters?
it takes coins. You're absolutely right. I'm not kidding.
Bitcoin?
Yeah. What? You saw this too on Charlotte Agenda?
I saw it on something. It takes coin. I didn't get that
Bitcoin?
Part.
Yeah. I didn't read the article. You go in, you write the contract and do the sale and or whatever.
You do it online,
and it gives you a special coin that you put in, and that indicates that that's your car. And it brings it down. It's this.
What if it gets stuck in the spring, like halfway? I gotta shake it.
You know, like you see those commercials about Chevy and how they keep lifting up the truck, right. And there's another truck underneath. It's on hydraulics like that, and then it'll bring your car down, pull it out, and you can drive off with it. It's true.
Huh. Yeah.
I just don't know. It's a lot of expense for a novelty. But, hey, I think it's awesome. I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
It just means that there's no...
You haven't read the article.
Is it like a giant coin? Or like a normal size coin?
I haven't seen the coin, but I did see the rendering of the thing, and it's like... It's like 6 or 8 cars in this like vending machine thing. So you could pay for it online and go and pick it up you wouldn't have to go through normal business hours. You can just pick it up when you're ready.
I hate to like go to a vent, you know, a regular old Coke machine and accidentally put the coin. It's like, oh no, that's my car.
What if you push the wrong number and you, like, you get you know, a Kia or something?
You push the wrong number, you get a Porsche. Yeah, that's mine. Yeah.
Totally mine. I meant to push that. I did.
Totally
was mine. That's awesome.
Interesting.
But yes.
So a car vending machine.
That's awesome. Thanks for bringing that up, Tim. Not geek related, but
technology. So kind of geek related, yeah. The SAG Awards this were like Sunday night. Stranger Things won Best Drama. It beat out Game of Thrones, which has won I think the last 2 or 3 years.
Interesting.
But yeah, it did beat out Game of Thrones, and if you want to watch something very interesting, watch the acceptance speech where David Harbour made a very impassioned plea for empathy, and Winona Ryder made some very unusual facial expressions.
I didn't get to watch that, but I saw
she was watching a fly.
I don't know what she was watching. But man,
she was like having a stroke or something. Like.
The facial expressions ran the gamut from "we won" to "did I leave my iron on" to "the medicine kicked in." It was very interesting.
Oh my word! Yeah.
But it was kind of nice to see.
So for local news, Charlotte MayCon was last weekend. And I believe, Josh, you were there.
No, I was going to go.
Oh.
I ended up not going. This is going to take a bit of a tangent. Actually, I sold, along with my dad, we had a guy come and buy our entire Star Wars collection that
weekend.
You
were talking about this. You guys have been collecting this for how many years?
Well, since Star Wars came out in 77, my parents always bought me the toys, and then every Christmas, every birthday, every opportunity, it was always Star Wars toys. That was always my favorite thing. I mean, if you're a 40-year-old man or woman, those were the things that you remember from that time period.
None at all.
But for, I remember 1 year, and this was as I was kind of aging, getting out of that age of playing with the toys, I bought my dad a Star Wars.
When was that?
Probably later than it should have been. Okay. But I had bought my dad a Star Wars and Star Trek price guide. And then once we started realizing how much some of the stuff was worth, we kind of, everything got scooped up and put in boxes. And we started scouring yard sales and thrift stores and flea markets and finding other pieces that we, even if we had them, we would buy them so that we could take them. And we traveled, different parts of the Midwest to toy shows. And it was my first experience, my first exposure to conventions at the time. And then we'd set up booths and sell stuff. And then we would buy other things we didn't have. And we amassed, a pretty nice collection. For my 8th grade birthday, matter of fact, I got, it was actually that, and for Father's Day, a joint gift from my dad and I both, a large Star Wars arcade game. The stand-up, the old Vector graphics line deal. I remember that. That was a lot of fun. But it was all boxed up and put away for a long, long time. And it, with my dad retiring at the end of last year, we decided that with nowhere to put it, nowhere to store it, nowhere to display it, we would let other people who would enjoy it have a crack at it. So that was sort of what ended up happening. It sort of happened more quickly than we thought because somebody bought the whole thing instead of piecing it out and selling it on eBay or at shows or things like that. That was always my dad's goal, was to have something to do in his retirement, and keep him busy. But we ended up doing it this way, and I think it was probably the best way to go. And
now I can just count money.
Now he's just like Scrooge McDuck, as a matter of fact, and diving into his piles of money. And he can do something else with that money and not spend his time at the post office mailing boxes. So that was fun. It was hard, actually, too. I think it was hard on both he and I to see all that stuff go. Because we have, and I told, this is what I told him, he and I both have a lot of memories of, finding pieces that we wanted and getting excited over, finding something cool, going to these conventions and having fun selling stuff and meeting people and, you know, that was my, like I said earlier, that was my first exposure to cons and you know, seeing what that sort of lifestyle was like and the craziness and the gaming and really, and the truthfully, this was really before a lot of cosplaying was very big. A lot of Klingons, though, will say.
Always Klingons.
There was always Klingons. But very few, like, really dedicated cosplayers like you have now, like you would see now. But that's, you know, that was back when I was, you know, real little. And definitely things have come a long way since then.
And he really took me back. I was talking before the podcast, too. It's that back then, before eBay was so prevalent, it really was a hunt.
It
like
was.
You're talking about, like, mm-hmm. it was just luck of the draw. You go to a flea market, or you'd see a yard sale, and you'd circle back.
Yeah.
And Mark Hamill was on The Nerdist recently,
mm-hmm.
and Joe, I know you listened to it as well, and he has been collecting stuff before Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was talking about the same thing. It was like he'd be going on the set of some weird place in the Midwest doing a movie shoot, and he would notice a yard sale, and he'd say to the driver, "Can you take me back there after I shoot my scenes?" And the guy was like, "Sure."
Yeah,
and go and just like finding like a comic book that he wanted, and you just never knew though.
One of my favorite picks. We lived in Phoenix at the time, and we were at Phoenix flea market at the dog track had this huge. If you've ever been to Phoenix, this is like a...
Carol,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. You were out there.
Okay, so if you're familiar with the dog track,
it's
a humongous thing.
Okay.
Even now, I think it's pretty big, but like for like a 9 or 10-year-old kid at the time, that was like enormous. And my dad and I would go, and we would, you know, look for stuff. And a lot of stuff, it was rare to find something that you didn't already have.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember we came to this one table, and there was a guy, he had some toys, he had some comic books. And we were kind of sorting through his loose figures, and he had a Rancor, a large creature, with another figure in its hand, and that figure was one we didn't have. And there was there was not too many figures we didn't have, and this particular one was a blue Snaggletooth, which was the tall version that was only available through a Sears special boxed set for the cantina. And so he wasn't available
boots.
With the silver boots.
Yeah,
instead of having the cloth.
I found him as well. Yeah,
and so he's a pretty rare character, rare to get. And I couldn't believe him. I was just like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. And we're like, well, how much are your figures? And he's like $3 a piece or something. And I was like, oh, we'll take this one, and we'll take this one too. And that was pretty nice. I mean, it was one of those things where I remember that very specifically. There's very few things that I can remember with as much. You know, with as vividly, but I remember
that moment where you're kind of waiting for that person to say, no,
not that one.
Yeah,
not
that one.
Yeah.
So
I can only hearken, and this is going to open myself up for a source of ridicule, but there was a time in my life where I collected Beanie Babies, and I remember the very first time I started, literally, my cats that I had at the time would carry my socks around in their mouths and stuff like that. You know, you'd fold a load of laundry and you don't quite put them away, and they would. And I was like, the first Beanie Baby I bought, I literally bought it because I just wanted my cats to stop taking my socks around the house. And my friend was really into collecting it. She's like, I can't believe you got that. How much was that? And I was like, I don't know, $5.95 or whatever. She goes, that's worth like $25. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you get to that moment, and there was one where it was a harder one to find at the time, and they had it on a display, and I just kind of went, plink, and was like, I'm going to buy this one. And they're mm-hmm. like, okay. And I was, and my friend and I were just like, get out of the store. Because like, that one was going for like $60 online or something. And I was just like, okay, I got this. But, you know, it's that moment.
It's
just
that
like,
moment. Well, it's like anything. Oh. It's like looking at, it's the one thing that got me into comic books, too, because Dad started, he wanted to start getting the Star Wars comics. I forget how far they ran, but up into the hundreds or something. And he would go to the comic book stores. Something like that. Seems about right.
Somewhere around there.
And so he's trying to get a full set and drag me around to the comic book stores. And I wasn't into comic books at the time. And I thought, well, I'll go with you, I guess.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I picked up on, you know, going through the boxes and finding something. I actually got interested in collecting Punisher comic books.
Oh, okay.
And so the Punisher was sort of my focus. Instead of having something unattainable like a whole run of Amazing Spider-Man, or something that was never going to happen for a 10-year-old, I thought I'll start with something that has a fairly limited run and I can, you know, And then it turned into, well, now I got to buy all these other appearances and issues that he showed up in. And then it becomes, well, now I'm
going to get Punisher War Journal, the spinoff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that kind of became a whole thing. And and that sort of was my introduction into comic books. And then you get introduced to other characters that you like. You know, it's just interesting how things end up, you know, leading your life into a direction that sort of defines your youth. Yeah, you know, for lack of a better term, really. But
oddly, my brother started with the Punisher too.
Oh, really?
Because it was something that he could collect completely.
Well, that's great. I could relate to that. In fact,
there's a whole
my dad, you know, he was going to the comic book stores and he asked me, he said, "Is there anything you want?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." But a friend of mine, whose older brother, who I looked up to, had a Punisher poster, and I'm like, "How about Punisher? That's cool. That seems like a neat thing." And he picked up a number one at the time. It hadn't been out for very long, so it was easy to get. And then from there, that's what, you know, going and finding other books and searching through the long boxes, and that turns into, you know, calling up people who put ads in the paper that they're selling comic books, and you go and you're looking through the comic books and you're pulling out bags and getting excited when you find something, you know, that's worth your trip. You know, it's exciting.
It really was. And the same thing, like, you just happen upon like a little used bookstore and there'd be like a stack of like random comic books and you're like, "I've been looking for this one. Oh my gosh." Yeah. It's like, just there.
Well,
it's
with
like,
my and the same thing with my dad, you know, with his work, he traveled a little bit. So he would travel the country. He'd go on the back roads. He'd go into these little towns and go into their downtowns that were starting to disappear.
Right.
And go into their Five and Dimes, their Ben Franklin's, what have you, and go in and find some carded figures that were in the back, stuck behind something else, and you know, buy those up for a couple bucks a piece, and you know, those are exciting finds. I mean, that doesn't happen like that.
Yeah, I mean,
especially
with
the internet. You know, you're like, "Oh, I need that thing. I'll just go on the internet and get it."
Yeah.
And that's that. The thrill of the hunt is kind of gone.
I think you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
I think one of the coolest things for, you know, when we go to a comic book convention, I'm usually sitting at a Charlotte Geeks or Geek Gala table promoting, but it's a fun to people watch. And sometimes you'll see these people, these older guys with these notebooks that they pull out and they've got these numbers down. They're just, you know, it's just like what you see on Big Bang Theory. They're just kind of like fingering through those boxes trying to find that one. And then they look at it and they're like, "Ah, oh, it's got a hole punch in it." Or something, whatever. And it's just fascinating.
It was fun too. You know, we would do go to conventions. In particular, I told you, we would do, you know, sell stuff, extras that we would have. But my dad was always big, you know, if a little kid came up to the table and probably didn't have any money, my dad was always like, you know, giving them figures, throwing, you know, little extras into their bag if they just had a couple bucks, or if they wanted, you know, the Sand Person or an R2-D2 and they only had a dollar, they would leave with both the Sand Person and the R2-D2. You know, that was just what my dad would do. And because he liked that aspect of thinking that kid was going to have something exciting to show his parents or his friends, and you know, just the excitement that Star Wars brought to our lives. I mean, it meant a lot to us. It still does. I mean, even without the collection, it still doesn't. You know, that's what I told him. That I said, you know, just because we're selling this stuff doesn't mean that this movie, these movies don't mean as much as they used to. They still mean the same thing. They still mean exactly what.
Well, you'll always have the memories of the church.
Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely.
And you'll always have Episode 8 coming out this
coming
year.
Coming out.
That's true.
The Last Jedi.
So, which could be plural. So, speaking of comic books, DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. So, pretty interesting. This was their back from winter break episode, if you will. So, they had a little break there from December till now. And it's a time-traveling show, and you've got, basically, I call it the people on contract at the CW who need a job, because you've got Damian Darhk's back on this show. He was an Arrow villain. You've got John Barrowman, who was Rasha Ghul. Yeah. He's on it. I think he was the first one to get the contract for all the shows.
Yeah.
So he can appear on any of the CW shows, which is pretty cool. Even Supergirl, which I'm interested to see when they do that. But and then who's the other one? Anyway, but they go back in time, and they find Rip Hunter, who they thought had been killed.
his mind has been completely wiped. He touched the core of the of Gideon, the time spaceship, and so he went back in time. He has no memory of who he really is, and he,
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, yeah. He's in 1967 California, Southern California, filming a movie, and it's all about the adventures of DC's Legends of Tomorrow that he already made. So it's a great little movie thing, and his assistant is prop master is George Lucas. So you've got this guy with a very fake black beard on. Oh, I was like, really? You couldn't find one guy with a beard? Beards are pretty popular right now. You can, I would dye my beard, you know, whatever. But it's okay, I'm older than probably what they're looking for at that time. But anyway, so he's on there, and I guess he was the inspiration for the Atom on the TV show. And because George Lucas gets scared of this fight that they have, he decides to drop out of film school. Therefore, not creating Star Wars.
Wow.
He becomes a salesman. And because of that, the Atom, Ray Palmer, does not get inspired. So he becomes something drabby. And his brother, who's a historian, becomes a yoga instructor. So they lose all this knowledge. So, wow. So they have to go back and try to convince George Lucas to get inspired. So it's really fun. So just a fun episode. And it ends in a trash compactor, which, of course, really cool. And the way they did it was really clever. You didn't really see it coming. Then all of a sudden, they're just like, here we go. Yeah. So, but a lot of fun. It's just a fun show right now, I think. I did not catch Timeless this week, the other time travel show that I'm kind of watching like crazy. So.
Well, you know what could be timeless?
Yeah.
Carol's not even aware that I'm about to talk about
okay.
this. If you were to win the art contest to create a badge for Con Carolina.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So there's a badge contest to create art for of Con Carolina.
I can repeat words and push buttons.
Yes. I mean, there's not really that much to it.
But
it's if you go to the Con Carolina's Facebook page, there is all the information you need to enter the contest. We are extending the deadline. There's several different badges up for art, so you can pick and choose which badge you want to submit a design for. But that's the Con Carolina's Facebook page or concarolinas.org.
Yeah, nice. So definitely check that out. I know that they posted that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of cons we've talked about that are coming up. Of course, Mysticon is February 24th through 6th, and we'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then March 3rd, Charlotte Comic Con.
Sounds. It is in March.
March. Sure. It's March-ish.
March-ish.
It's March-ish.
March-ish. And then, of course, June is going to be Con Carolina's. And we are still looking for a couple artisans for the Muggle Market. You can join Josh.
You can be right next to me.
You can be right next
to
me.
On either the left hand side or the right hand side.
Yes, you're sitting here going to be in the middle.
I will give you all of my tips and tricks.
Yeah.
Of selling.
He might even give you a free pen if you're.
I might.
If you're a neighbor. If you're a neighbor.
That's right. Yeah. You got to be like right next to me, and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we could get him to donate a bar stopper for the Geeks Night Out with a bottle of wine.
I could do that.
Although again, Carol will be like, "Why would you need it if there's only one bottle of wine?"
That's for the second bottle that you opened and only had a few glasses.
But make sure to check that out at geekgala.com, or you can go to mugglesmarket.com, and I'll take you right to the Muggles Market section of the Geek Gala website, because, you know, I was going to corner that shit. So
that's right.
All right. So, Blackish.
Oh, well, it seems... Okay, Blackish, you know, not a well-known show at all, but...
No, not at all.
Yeah, I just started watching it, and I really enjoy it, about a wonderful family, and...
I've seen some of the episodes.
The four people that aren't watching it, I recommend you watch it.
I've watched some of it. Yeah, it's really good. I love Anthony Anderson. I think he's great. Yeah. And, of course, Tracy Ellis Ross is just awesome. I love her, too. So
everybody's really good on the
show.
Diana
Ross's sister. So. Daughter.
Sorry. Oh. I was going to say sister.
Daughter.
There's a wide age gap there.
Yeah, no. But we've been watching Anthony Anderson host To Tell the Truth, and I have to tell you, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, his mom's on there.
Oh, it's so funny.
So weird.
That's fun. And then I like the game shows that they've brought back. Alec Baldwin has been doing amazing with Match Game, and
He's found his stride on that.
Yeah,
for sure.
He really has. So that's good stuff.
I'm sitting here thinking, I don't watch enough TV, apparently, because this is all news to me. I didn't know about all these new game shows.
Yeah, you can actually go on Hulu to see the episodes of Match Game, watching a lot which is of the Hulu. Way we do it.
My wife's making me watch Gilmore Girls, though.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, literally,
you have hit
every
Tiffany's
episode
favorite
Girls.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know what I was missing, apparently.
Yeah, but no.
Are you enjoying it?
I did. Well, we watched the whole, we finished the you whole did? Season, and then
okay.
we just watched the four, whatever.
Okay.
It was interesting. I liked it.
Did you like the four?
No.
Yeah,
neither did my wife.
Oh, okay.
And I still didn't like it either.
Yeah. It was
but I thought it was. You know, I can't, it was one of those pop culture things that you always hear brought up, and I'm like, well, I don't have any frame of reference for it.
Yeah.
And we've been in a situation where our cable has not been, our TV is not connected to the cable, and we've been watching stuff on Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah.
And so Gilmore Girls, because there was such a library of seasons, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we've been watching the last month and a half.
Yeah.
Our house flooded right before Christmas.
Oh,
and
no.
So, like, the front half of our living room is destroyed. There's holes in the ceiling from the upstairs water.
Oh.
And then, so the TV is moved all the way up off of the concrete. And when we were pulling up, you know. So, we're just waiting for the contractor and everybody to get.
Wow.
Not that everybody needs to hear all my personal problems, but
that's
why I'm not watching regular
that
TV.
Bars work, so.
That's right. You can contribute to the fun by
that's right.
purchasing.
So are you Team Logan or Team Dean or
you know,
Team
I think Logan. I think I have
yes,
to say Logan.
Me too.
And I think my wife feels the same way. I think at the end Logan was a good guy. But
until the four.
I don't know. I was kind of disappointed with Roy's character towards.
I blame it on her, not on him. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's not. I don't know.
I don't put it past him. But her,
Another show you obsess about, Tiffles. The act, is it Misha Barton? From the OC?
Yeah,
she
was
fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah,
she went crazy. Yeah.
She went batshit crazy. She was, it's like when I say, every once in a while, like you hear a celebrity doing this. She was like half naked, climbing over her neighbor's fence.
Oh, yeah, I did see her in the news.
There's always something weird like
she's
this.
She's like checked into rehab.
It's like
I feel like this has happened with her before.
Well, you know, I think, remember when she was on Dancing with the Stars and she just had that horrible attitude and I talked about it on the podcast, or is that when you were just signing out? But anyway.
No, I remember that vividly.
But then it was like, you know, there are certain people that when they have these second chance shows like Dancing with the Stars or The Apprentice or something like that, there's those ones that, or on some of the cooking competition shows with celebrity chefs and stuff, where you see it's like there's the ones that are truly like, okay, I got my shit together now and I want to come back. And there's those other ones that you know their agents talked them into it because they need money, but they're still messed up.
It's like
was kind of on
the Amanda
that
Bynes
thing.
Effect or something.
Yeah, yeah. It was like she was still like over in that world.
No.
She was not ready to like come back. But, you know, and then there's the ones that are just like, give me a chance. So, anyway. On that note, give us a chance. Make sure you go back and listen to episode 122 and 123. Share us with your friends. Well,
go
wait
back
a second.
And listen to episodes 1 through 122. Maybe not 1.
Wow.
Maybe not
that's
1. But we have
episodes.
I
wasn't on 1. Don't listen to it.
Yeah. Well the pizza delivery guy was on 1.
Yeah.
So you
and the voice of the alarm system.
That's right.
Back door.
That was exciting.
Yes, it was exciting times. And
go
then come
back.
Forward. And make sure to visit us at Geek Gala and Muggles Market. And
buy your ticket. Go
buy your
ticket
now,
now.
Please.
Get a free
buy
T-shirt right now
yes.
if you buy it.
No. Yes. Geekzilla, King of the Carolinas, you have 10 months to plan your costume. Go!
Do it.
All right. And now you can push that button.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery. And on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstoff. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.
That's all the news. Noises we've been holding back.
Ba-ba-da-ba. Ba-ba-da-ba.